Amen. 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 Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you. How great is our God. Lord, we praise you, your greatness, your love. And Lord, we just thank you for all things. Pray, God, you just teach us this morning, give us insight to you and your word. And Lord, we just thank you for that. I pray you touch each one of us, open our hearts to hear what you have to say. And God, we just thank you for your word that reveals things to us we had never known. Lord, we also thank you that we praise you for your goodness and you move in our lives. And Lord, also in our difficulties, you move. And we want to ask your prayers for Woods and his family, Lord, on the passing of his father, Lord, and we praise you that he's in heaven with you, totally healed, and so we praise your holy name. But we do pray comfort for the family, and God, we just look to you and know that we all have an eternal home with you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. It'll be looking, starting off this morning, Genesis 2:24. Says, therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. As I mentioned, we've been going to look at God's design. Look at God's design for a few weeks, and last week we looked at God's design, male and female. And so we're coming this morning to look at God's design, marriage. And I thought it was an appropriate thing to do, and I don't know if you, like me, and you watch too much television or something, you look at and you think, gosh, the world's actually gone crazy. And think, my goodness, it's just some principal things that they just, the world, non-believers, those who haven't accepted Christ, you know, but have a confusion about God's design and kind of make things up as they go. So I thought, well, this would be a good point to just look at what God has to say. Okay, this is what God says about the whole thing. And so he's saying, so I want to say this is to believers, because as the world does crazy things, we need to know where we stand. We need to know what God says. Now, God's going to take care of everything, okay? But he wants his people to understand where we stand, all right? And so we're going to look at marriage this morning, marriage. And what you have here when the Lord's speaking, God's speaking, about one of the first things, you know, after creating all of things, you know, the whole world, the universe, so he speaks and he creates the universe and the world. Then he speaks and he creates man and woman, you know. So it's like, okay, that's his initiation, is God speaking. And so as we step back, we are to look at, think, the magnitude of God, creating the universe, creating the world, creating man and woman. I mean, we should be in awe. Amen? See, that's where we start. Then the next thing he says, all right? He says in Genesis 2:24, he speaks of marriage. He speaks of marriage. Now, God created marriage as a covenant between a man and a woman, okay? And for 5,000 years plus of human history, everybody believed that. But now, in our sophisticated age, we're a little confused about that, you know. So it makes you wonder, doesn't it? Like that, for 5,000 years, there wasn't any problem with it. But now, it's like, well, you know, so they're just trying to make some adjustments to it. But when we look at what God said, it came from him, and he spoke it. He spoke it. That's where it came from. I was watching one show. Again, I watch too much television. That's just all there is to it. I just do. I was watching this thing, and he was talking about how marriage came about. Never once did they go to the scriptures, you know. And so no doubt that they had some really crazy ideas, you know. And so after a while, I just had to go turn the TV off and walk around the block. It's like, oh, my goodness gracious. All right, so. And then I shared with my wife, Linda. She goes, why do you watch that stuff? Anyway, so that's kind of how that went. But you go, oh, my goodness. So here we know as believers, if God, a creation of all things, he established the marriage covenant. So we know that. So that's where it is. Now, what's interesting, So, the first words he talks about. So now we'll build from there, all right? Now, it's interesting. It's interesting. Jesus is asked about the subject of marriage. They ask Jesus. So he comes onto the scene, and he's walking, on this world, God incarnate, Jesus. And so they ask him about the subject of marriage. Now, Jesus, he could have said anything, right? I mean, if Jesus said it, you say, okay, that's scripture, we go with that. So he could have said anything. He could have added something. He could, and said, hey, this is what I mean. This is fulfilling this. But when they asked Jesus about marriage, you know what he did? He quoted Genesis 2:24. I've heard people say, well, you don't know Genesis. I believe in Jesus, but I don't believe in Genesis and all the stuff happened. Well, Jesus quotes Genesis. So why would you believe in Jesus, not believe in Genesis? Because you're believing in Jesus. Jesus believed in Genesis. Why would you believe in some deluded person that's misled? No, we believe in Jesus. Therefore, he believed in Genesis. And when asked about marriage, he quotes Genesis chapter 2:24. He does nothing to add to it. This is the way it is. So he just picks up. So I just put one. It's all through the scriptures, but I picked up Mark 10 because I thought it had the most complete. But look at Mark 10, verses 6 through 8. There's a lot for an overhead, but I thought, we can still follow along with it. So they're asking to Jesus about marriage, and he says this. Now, this is Jesus. God's already said in Genesis. Now Jesus says, from the beginning of creation. Now, right there, that tells you a lot, doesn't it? From the beginning of creation. So he's in all creation, from the very beginning of creation. God made them male and female. Now that's what Jesus believed. And by the way, just so we can clarify, Jesus believed that, but Jesus also was there. Okay, he was there. It's like, no, I just hearsay. No, I was there. I was there. And so he just quotes. So from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother, hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh, so they are no longer two, but one flesh. So Jesus believed in Genesis, and he believed God established marriage, and he believed marriage is a covenant between a man and a woman. Amen? So, that's just what Jesus believed. So why do we believe this? Because Jesus believed it. Why do we believe this? Because God believed it. He created it, but he believed what he did. So that's why we believe it, And so that's the basis on which we stand. Amen? Okay, Jesus believed. Now, so we have it's other places too. So we have the Apostle Paul. So he comes along, and the Apostle Paul wrote 3/4 of the New Testament. Okay, he was a Pharisee of Pharisees, but he came to know the Lord. He's a smart guy. God spoke to him. He wrote 3/4 of the New Testament. And we have unbelievable Christian doctrine we hold on from the Apostle Paul. So they ask him about marriage. They ask the Apostle Paul. So here we got a shot at the Apostle Paul so he can clear this thing up. Right? So he's writing 3/4 of the New Testament, and we're getting great insights of Christian theology from the Apostle Paul. So they ask him about marriage. So he's going to clear this up for us. Amen? He's going to clear it up for us. So what does Apostle Paul do? He quotes Genesis 2:24. Come on. Couldn't Paul be a little more original? Hey, let me add some stuff here. In fact, every once in a while you look in the scripture, he says, now listen, this is for me, and this is how it works. Not here. He just quotes Genesis. So the Apostle Paul believed in Genesis. And when asked about marriage, he quotes Genesis 2:24. So here we have Ephesians 5:31. Look at Ephesians 5:31. He says this. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become flesh. So God, Jesus, and the Apostle Paul saying the same thing. Jesus and Paul don't even add anything to it. They just go by what God said in the very beginning. So here we are. is Christians in the church, okay, now I mean, people that are non-Christians or other things, they want to make something up, okay, you know, have at it, you know, but within the church, with believers who trust on the Lord Jesus Christ, we know where marriage came from, okay, we know, and the people we depend on who wrote us the scriptures, people, I say beings, God, Jesus, the Apostle Paul, and all the rest of them believed the same thing. They didn't have any issue with it. They believed that. So to be a Christian, to call yourself the Christian, you got to believe marriage was created by God between a man and a woman. You got to. Amen? We won't have any choice. Now, again, don't be too upset. Somebody else, they're not a Christian, so they just make something up. All right. They make something up. They don't make it right. So we know. So we just have a net. We understand, and so we have confidence in that. So how can you be so positive? Guess. That's what God said. That's what Jesus said. That's what the Apostle Paul said. That's what the Bible says. Okay. And I just add as a footnote, for 5,000 plus years, that's what everybody else believed too. You know. See, just to let you know. All right. So we have that. So here it is. This could be one of the shortest messages I ever gave. It could be. But I won't let it slip by. Here we go. See, clearly marriage is between a man and a woman. It's God's creation. It's God's design. And we can rely on the Word of God. And that's the end of the matter. It's 11:15. However, I want to add something. I mean, it is. I mean, bottom line, you said God's design, it's marriage. And those verses, and you see clearly there's no argument. I mean, if you believe on the Lord, if you believe in Jesus, you believe the scripture, there's no question. There's no question about that. That's what we stand. It says, well, you don't love these. I love them to death, you know, it's like that. But this is what God says, and this is why I'm trusting in God in that, because that's where I understand it come from. See? Amen? All right, okay. Now, however, if I could put my head, I should have put on the overhead like a big period. So I'm going to think about a big period. So boom, there's nothing to add to this. All right, there's nothing to add to this. So that's what we believe. But what happens, what the Apostle Paul does, he actually adds something. Are you ready for this? The Apostle Paul adds something to what God and Jesus said. Now, it's inspired, so it's what God intended. So you want to hear what he added? Are y'all ready? This is what he adds. Now, so when he's speaking about marriage, he makes a profound statement about the sacredness of marriage that goes way beyond our human understanding. Are you ready? Promise me, you're ready. Okay. So when Paul talks about marriage, we just read it. Amen? Verse 31, Ephesians 5:31. Look what he says in Ephesians 5:32, the next verse. Now look what he says. This is marriage. He adds this. This mystery is profound. See, guys and gals, you're going, yeah, it's profound. That's what you're thinking. No, God is, the Apostle Paul adds it. This mystery is profound. I'm saying that it refers to Christ and the church. Let's sink in. What refers to Christ in the church? I want to hear you say it. Everybody. Marriage refers to Christ and the church. God didn't say that in Genesis. Jesus didn't say that in the Gospels. But Paul, is he's expounding on the theology of Christianity based on the Old Testament and God speaking to him, he said marriage, it is a profound mystery. I'm saying it refers to Christ in the church. Now, what you think about this? All right, now, all the people out in the world, they're messing with marriage, okay, or doing whatever they want to do, okay, that's fine. But in the church, he's telling us something. Now, we're talking about the marriage relationship refers to Christ and the church. This is stunning. This is a stunning thing. I want you to think about it. This is stunning. Paul is telling us something here. So what Paul is telling us, now listen, that there's a correlation when Paul talks about leading people to Christ or believing in Christ, there's a correlation to the marriage of a man and woman. Y'all with me? He's saying when he leads somebody to Jesus, they're out there doing whatever, he shares the gospel with them, they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He said that's a correlation of the marriage that they, once they believe in Christ, that comes into the relationship with Jesus, and it reflects a marriage relationship. You with me? Look what else he says. Okay, now think about the marriage relationship. And Paul's talking about it. He says there's a connection here. I want you to understand this connection. All right? Look what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 11:2. Now he's talking about leading people to Jesus. They come to know Christ. They don't know anything. He shares that God loves you. Christ died on the cross for you. They said, I believe in that. And they accept him. He goes, brother and sister, he loves them and hugs them and says, now if you've accepted Christ, you're part of the family. Well, he writes them a letter and he says this. This is what Paul says. When I led you to Christ, I betrothed you. That means engaged and brought you into the wedding. Betrothed, you know. I haven't used that word a lot with my kids or anything. But that's the betrothed, okay? That's what he means. I betrothed you to one husband. Who's he talking to? All the people he led to Jesus. All the people he led to Jesus. Men, women, kids, everything. He said, I betrothed you to one husband to present you as a pure virgin to Christ. Think on that. Think on that, what he just said. He just shared, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Your sins are forgiven. You're totally clean. You're totally pure. You trust in the Lord Jesus. You have a relationship with him for all eternity. And therefore, you're absolutely pure. And he said, therefore, I betrothed you to one husband to present you as a pure virgin to Christ. It's a marriage relationship. You see that? See, Paul said, it's a profound mystery. Profound mystery. You know, I think about why I do weddings. There's always a line in there. It says, this should not be taken unadvisedly. And I'm thinking, whoa, yeah. I mean, when I read the fine print here, I go, oh, man, there's a lot of things you probably should think about, right? So here we are. We have this picture. You have the picture with me, right? You have this picture? He says, now, understand. And so what he's adding onto this, to what Jesus and God said. Now, this is a relationship. I'm leading you into Christ, and you're like the body of Christ, and you're like a pure virgin, and he's the husband, and you have that relationship for all eternity. He says, that's what I'm doing. That's what happened to you. Oh, man, I thought I would raise my hand and say, I believe in Jesus. No. I led you into an intimate relationship with Christ. Amen? Y'all with me? That's what it says. Now, Paul is telling us, okay, that the marriage relationship is a picture. Now, you with me here? Paul is telling us that the marriage relationship is a human picture of oneness and intimacy we have with Christ and being part of God's family. Husband and wife, married together, you become one. One flesh, one spirit, one togetherness. There's a connection. What God has joined together, let no man separate. Why do you add that? Because God joined together, led you, you know, and it's like a relationship with Christ. As husband and wife are joined together in oneness, it's like when we trust Christ, we're joined together in Christ in oneness. Amen? I mean, it's like, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. So, last week we saw how man and woman were created in the image of God. Now this week we see that God's design of marriage is a union between man and woman, which represents the eternal intimacy we have with Christ. Now you go back to Genesis. What God is setting up this whole picture of a unity with Him. Adam, the sinless one, Eve, the sinless one, he brings them together, they join together, and that's analysis. Unity, we have a oneness before the fall. Amen? Then there's the fall. Then there's the separation. Then Jesus comes and restores it. And by trusting in Jesus, we're restored the way it was meant to be, and we have a oneness. You know, man, I have messed up. Yeah, but you cleanse by the blood of Christ. He looks at you as pure and holy, and he presents him to your son, his son. Amen? I mean, this is like, oh my goodness, my goodness. Now, so we have this picture. Y'all with me? We got this picture. And is Jesus, is God's closing out Scripture in the book of Revelation? We see the marriage covenant being a picture of his bride, the church. So we're going to Revelation. We jump to Revelation. And so God just says something. Like everybody ought to know it. He just says it, okay? And what he says is we have this picture of Jesus and his bride. Oh, wow. Who's that? It's the church. That's how he closes out Revelation. Look at this verse. Revelation 21:9. Come. You know, he's given this revelation at the end times. Now, 21. Okay, there's only 22 chapters. We're closing this thing up. So he says, come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. He said, oh, God is like, oh, man, look. Jesus, oh, this is glorious. This is glorious. Okay, we're going to see a picture. This is glorious. He said, yeah, come, I'm going to show you something. This is unbelievable. I'm going to show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. Now, who's the Lamb? I just want to make sure we're on the same track. Who's the Lamb? It's Jesus, okay? We're going to see his wife. His wife. The wife of the Lamb. I didn't know Jesus had a wife. Get out of here. Yeah, he's going to have a wife. You know, how many, how are you going to do all this? Come on, I'll show you the bride. The wife of the Lamb. Now, just in case we get confused, the Bible tells us who the wife of the Lamb is. Look at Revelation 21:27. Revelation 21:27. It's those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. Now, look quick, hip quiz. How do we get in the Lamb's book of life? I hear people whispering it, but I'm not sure. Go ahead, somebody say it. Trust Jesus. You trust Jesus. I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I am forgiven. You're written in the Lamb's book of life. You're his bride. The church is the accumulative body that's Jesus' bride. Now, what's important about it, when you think Jesus and his bride, that talks about of an eternal relationship the way God intended, a oneness and a community and an intimacy with God for all eternity. And so God said, and I really believe this, God said, you know, these people, I love them, they're dear, and guys, they're so sweet. And he's talking to believers, they're sweet and they're dear. He said, they don't get it. And so I want to give them a picture so they'll get it. I'll give them a physical picture so they get it, because they can't quite understand what's going to happen all eternity. It's like the wonderful marriage, and you get together a man and a woman in the closeness, and it's just the greatest thing that ever happened. He says, you see that picture? That's the way it's going to be with Christ for all eternity for all believers. That's why he did that. Amen? That's why he did it. And so when you think of our situation, oh my gosh, for all eternity, for all eternity. And so with that, that's incredible. Amen? That's incredible. Now, so what we have here, and this is like, we should think about this. And that, so this is for the church to know. Okay, this is for the church to know, believers. So marriage is not a human institution to be messed with by humans. Amen? It's not a human institution. Marriage is a covenant from God which pictures, now listen to this. Marriage is a covenant from God which pictures our very salvation and our relationship with Christ. Don't mess with it. Don't mess with it, because it pictures our salvation and a relationship with Christ. Amen? That's what it says. Marriage is God's design, reflecting relationship and intimacy we will have with Christ for all eternity. To twist God's design of marriage is to twist the picture of salvation, and this would be an abomination to God. Whoa. Whoa. Amen? I mean, it's like, whoa. Whoa. Hey, I don't know, marriage and da-da-da-da-da. Well, you know, you can do what you want to, but I kind of tied into what God says, you know? And you know, God's loving and kind, but I think he might just get a little upset if I mess with this, you know? I'm going to just hang here with Jesus for a while, okay? Love you, but I'm just going to hang with Jesus on this one, okay? See, and so it's an understanding, you know, of what's going on. Amen? Now, I want to share something, too. I like to add this because I always get this question, too. What, and you're talking about marriage relationship and stuff like that. And I've had people ask, well, what about if you're single? If you're single, okay? Well, and that's a good question, because I'm talking about man and woman, the marriage relationship, and God, and how that works if you're single. Well, God bless it that we have a verse that tells us about being single, okay? I love this verse. You should really, if you're single, you should love this verse. 1 Corinthians 7 through 33 through 34. I just put one verse up there, just in one section. Okay, if you're single, that's your verse. If you're single, that's your verse. See? Because they asked him, well, what if I'm single? You know, what should I get married? He said, no, listen, Paul said, no, listen, if you're single, I want you to be free from anxieties. Because he's knowing what he says. You know, you got this picture of God's beautiful, eternal wedding of just perfection. And he says, I know you ain't quite pulled it together here yet, you know. So you're going to have some little toughing and pulling and spitting and cussing and stuff. No, maybe not cussing. But anyway, you're going to have some stuff going on here. All right? He said, I know that. I say, but we'll work through that. But you have the picture of what I meant with the marriage. So if you're single, don't worry about it, because I want you free from all those anxieties. That's what he says. Now listen, I'm going to read it. You don't have it up there, but I'm going to read the whole section to you. Okay? But he says, I want you free from anxieties. The unmarried man is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to please the Lord. Ooh, you can just hear the angels sing. But the married man is anxious about worldly things, how to please his wife. Really? Really? I didn't know that. Okay, he's worried about earthly things, how worldly things, how to please his wife. His interests are divided. And the unmarried woman is anxious about the things of the Lord. Oh, again, you hear the angels singing. Oh, she just sings. She's just worried about the things of the Lord. How to be holy in body and spirit. But the married woman is anxious about worldly things. How to please her husband. Didn't you hear that? How to please your husband. Okay, you see what I'm saying? So he said, hey, if you're single, man, go with it. Go with it. You know, there's no anxieties in it. Oh, I want to be married. He goes, what are you thinking about? No, he didn't say that. Okay, but you see what I'm saying? So he's got single covered. He's got single covered. All right. So we have here a single person has the blessing of being completely devoted to God of any distractions. See, raise a child up. Say, I want to be single. You do. So you just want to be devoted to God. Well, I didn't say that. Well, that's what this says. You know, if you're going to be devoted to God, you need to get married. You need a few anxieties. No, I didn't say that. You need to. But you see what I'm saying here. So it's covered. But the point of it is, and be on a serious note, the point is God is showing our relationship of oneness and unity and intimacy with Him here and for all eternity. Amen? That's what He's telling us. Now, what we have here is Satan is running wild on this earth, deceiving and lying to people. As Christians, it's important to understand God's design and to behave according to His designs. As Christians operating within God's designs, we become avenues for the Creator in which nothing's impossible. You see what happens by operating in the design? By operating within God's design and making that thing work through God, making it work through us, and we operate within that design, nothing is impossible to us as we become avenues for God. Amen? Amen. Because look here, and this applies. So we want within God's design, so we understand the fullness of what God wants to give us. This is a norm. I'm going to read this next verse. This is a norm. We look at, oh, this is accepted. No, this is the norm for believers. Look at Ephesians 2, 20 through 21. Look at this. I put the first part of it up here. Now, to Him. Now who? Now to God. Now to Him who is able to do how much? Far more abundantly than all we ask or think. Like me, I pray, oh God, this is what I want you to do. And gosh, I don't know, that's kind of big for you. I don't know if you can get that done. There's all these, I just know if you can do it. I knew more than you ask. Listen, by the way, Wells, I want to do, especially with you, I can do more than you even think. See, so now to Him who's able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power that's in South America, according to the power that's in, you know, Africa, according to, we're always going someplace to look for God's power, right? No, it says this, now to Him who's able to do far more abundantly than all we think or ask, according to the power at work within us. What happened when we accepted Christ? I'm going to wait until you answer this. What happened when we accepted Christ? Holy Spirit entered in us. What is the Holy Spirit? Christ in us or the Holy Spirit? What is that? That's God in us. Oh, I'm going to go find God. He's here. You don't have to go look for nothing. He said, I'm going to do more than you can abundantly ask or think according to the power that's in you. We accept Christ, and Christ indwells us. The Holy Spirit indwells us. Therefore, everything to do more than we possibly think or ask is in us. And what God is trying to do, make a connection with me. Understand who you are. By the way, you know, the marriage is a picture of that, and that marriage is going to show the absolutely glory of God. Any more than you ask or think, that's what the marriage is meant to do. Oh, by the way, you're single? Oh, man, you can just totally focus. You don't have to buy groceries or nothing. You just totally focus. Right? That. You don't have to pick up your laundry. You just totally focus. You're single. You get married, you got to pick up your laundry. Gosh, I was thinking, oh, God, you mind picking up yourself? I wanted to think about God. See, it doesn't work, does it? No. He can do more than we think or according to the power at work within us. Listen. Who wants to mess with the marriage? Well, I want to do something different. What? And miss this? Miss God's design? So it goes on to say, and I don't have this up on the screen, but I'll read the whole thing. Now to Him is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to Him be glory in the church. Not to Him be glory in some believer's fantasy, unbeliever's fantasy, you know. Not to Him be the glory in some president or some, no. To Him be the glory. He's going to do more than we far more abundantly than we ask or think according to the power that works in us. To Him be the glory in the church. Amen? I mean, it's sad for the folks outside the church. It's sad. According to this power, because it's a glory within the church. And then it goes and says, in Christ Jesus, throughout all generations, forever and ever and ever and ever. You see, amen? So it's like, well, gosh, ever they believe this, I don't want to say that. They say I don't love them, and I don't know how to communicate it. What are you talking about? We want people to experience God's love. Hey, I'm X, Y, and Z. Well, good, you want to experience God's love. You want to experience, but I believe it. Oh, wonderful. You want to believe, you want God's love. You want to experience God's love. That's how you start off with. Not go, ooh, you're a sinner. You know, you don't do that. Yeah, oh, you want to experience God's love. And oh, I want to experience God. You wake there, and he has a special design so you experience the fullness of him. You accept him, and God will move you into his design, and you can experience the fullness of God. Amen. No, I'd rather have this. All right. Okay. You know? You can. Nothing to get upset about. I mean, you kind of want to weep over the person. You're kind of heartbroken. Nothing to get mad about. It's like, I got $1 million. Somebody sitting there says, I don't want your $1 million. I'm just so upset because you don't want my $1 million. That's nuts. Okay, fine. I got my $1 million. Didn't want to share with you anyway. So again, no. But you see what I'm saying? We got to get our thinking straight. We have this unbelievable abundance with us all the time. I mean, we say, God loves you so much. He wants to give you this abundance. Well, what about this? Well, you just take his abundance, trust on him, and he will lead you into his design. Amen? Too many of us think we're the Holy Spirit. Introduce them to the Holy Spirit, all right? We, not the Holy Spirit, we introduce them to the Holy Spirit, and then the Holy Spirit takes them. And they may have questions along the way, but it's the Holy Spirit we're trusting in. They'll take them to where they need to be. Okay, the church grab hold of this, and then all of a sudden, we're like super, super, super powerful because we're cooperating with God, doing what God says according to God's design, and he is just having fun moving out through us. But who does he have to get square? Church. He's going, believe who you are. Believe who you are. Amen? Hallelujah. So we only have one message for those that don't or are outside the church. Only one message. I'm telling you, listen to me, only one message for those outside the church. I don't care what they ask you. You're smart enough to turn around, and this is all you have for those outside the church. John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, have eternal life. What do you think about this? I believe God so loved the world. What do you think about it? God so loved. What do you think about it? God so loved the world. Do you know anything about other than that? No, I don't know. This is all I know. God loves the world. Once you accept that, we can talk about other things. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. So I think we should be excited. I mean, excited. Each one of you who have accepted Christ can do far more and abundantly than you ask or think. See? He said, you can't even think about what I'm going to do. You can't even think. You're going to be dumbfounded. Amen? So let's stand up and let's just sing praises to God. Because it's like, oh my gosh. But you don't understand me. You don't understand my station in life. You don't understand. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with Christ in you, right? It has to do with Christ in you. See, Jesus show up anywhere. Wherever Jesus shows up, things happen, right? Jesus shows up, things happen. Now again, where does Jesus live? In you. So when you step in, things happen by definition. Well, they didn't do what I thought. That's your problem. You need to do what Jesus thought, you know. So we got a few things we got to work on. But this is what it is. Know what I think. Know what I think. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you died for us. We thank you you live within us. We thank you that you'll do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power that's at work within us. Thank you, dear God, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.